Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network on this Tuesday, August 14th. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. We start this broadcast with Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, the North Dakota Mill, U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, and the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council. Spring wheat harvest is progressing in the northwest Minnesota area. Despite a shortage of moisture, Badger farmer Shane Isney says dry conditions make for nice harvest conditions.
We're probably about two-thirds of the way done already, and so things are rolling along real nice. I guess we're happy with the amount of rainfall we got. We were very dry up in our area, and but I guess we're ranging anywhere from, I think our worst field was 55 bushels, and I think our best field so far has been 75. So we'll get the areas where it's 10, 15 bushel, and then you'll get the areas of the field where it's 80 to 90 bushel. It all depends on soil type. I guess you could pick an average right in the middle, which is, it's not not the end of the world, but we always hope for more, I guess.
Isney is pleased with spring wheat quality and protein content.
Quality looks pretty nice, you know, that 60 to 62 pounds. Again, a kind of a variety of proteins, but I guess we've been satisfied with protein anywhere from, 13 to 15. So I guess we can kind of be happy with that.
Kansas-based custom harvester Dane Dolchak has been combining wheat, canola, and peas in the Garrison, North Dakota area.
You know, the crop in here is a little bit better than everybody really anticipated. They're just kind of getting started on the peas are pretty much all done, but some of the early canola and wheat is just now starting to come off, and I think really everybody's pleasantly surprised with the crop so far.
Dolchak says yields have been better than expected.
I really think it is. Some of the early stuff that they really thought the early stuff wasn't isn't the better stuff that they have. And, you know, it's probably 10 to 15 bushel better than they really anticipated. Seen a lot of that stuff in the 55 to 65 range. And, you know, I think they were expecting maybe, you know, upper 40s at that time. So the test weight's been there, you know, 61, 62, and a lot of it pretty decent protein by what I would think. I cut some stuff yesterday that was over 14, so.
Cullum, North Dakota farmer Josh Gackle finished barley harvest last week. Yields were average for the area in the 80 to 90 range. Quality was good.
And we just got started with our wheat harvest yesterday, and so far that looks a little bit better than what I've been hearing in different parts of the state.
Gackle says the rest of the week looks dry.
Possibly a chance of rain later in the weekend, Saturday night, Sunday. We might get close to finish by then if things continue to work well.
Grand Forks, North Dakota farmer Paul Sproul is harvesting wheat this week. He says farmers wouldn't mind a good rain.
Yields have been decent. Protein is above average, I think, for everyone. So I'm sure that's going to take away from some of those bonuses for having good protein this year, because everybody's got it. It's kind of like the tide. Everybody gets it, and it goes up or goes down together. But overall, the wheat crop looks very, very nice.
Sproul will start sugar beet pre-pile in a few days. American Crystal Sugar Company lowered the limit to what farmers can harvest this year due to sugar beet yields at 34 tons, the estimate at least, and farmers can harvest 68% of acres.
You know, some guys planted 73 to 78% mm-hmm. of their allowable acreage, and it looks like now they're based on forecasted yield at this time, they only want you to dig 68%.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be that's evaluated every week, and we'll see where that curve moves on our yields once we go. And I know this dry weather has had a huge impact on what's going on right now with our sugar beets.
And that sugar beet crop at Southern Minnesota Beet Sugar Cooperative is hanging in there after a very wet growing season. Vice President of Agriculture Todd Giselia says the ag staff is out collecting root samples.
We're going to run them on Thursday, and we'll know a lot more next week where we're at. But just got off the phone with one of my guys, and he's cautiously optimistic about things coming around. So I think hopefully we can get some of these marginal fields coming along a little bit better, we'll be okay.
And Giselia says the excess rain will have a big impact on this year's crop.
At least 80% of our growing area had excess moisture for probably 6-plus weeks there. And so that really created some problems for us. You know, at a certain point, even as much tile as we have, we couldn't get rid of the water fast enough. And just started getting a lot of disease coming in. So we're going to be battling some root diseases this fall, so that's always a bit of a challenge.
And Harvest Hotline brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated, Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and by the North Dakota Mill.
Scattered showers move through parts of southeast North Dakota and west central Minnesota this morning. The Campbell, Minnesota Endon Station reported 1.54 inches of rain. Fargo received 0.2 inches, while Otter Tail, Minnesota reported 0.5 inch. Wahpeton, North Dakota had 0.7 inches of rain in the gauge. 0.4 inches was reported at Leonard, North Dakota.
Weather across the majority of the Midwest remains negative for the corn and bean markets. RJ O'Brien Market Insights report expects 70% of the Midwest to see rain coverage in the next 5 days, providing crop relief for the dry areas in Missouri, Kansas, southern Iowa, and northern Illinois. The report says only 15% of the key growing area will remain dry, which includes the Dakotas and northern and eastern Minnesota and portions of Wisconsin.
INTL FC Stone market analyst Mark Lucas says the weather does lean negative for the grain markets.
The big question is, are conditions going to be good enough with some rain here in August to finish out this crop? And, you know, looking at the 7-day forecast here, heart of the Corn Belt has some very, very nice precipitation coming through it over the next 7 days with some cooler temperatures. Unfortunately, looks like northwest Minnesota, North Dakota, parts of South Dakota are going to not get much. It's mainly the heart of the Corn Belt that, is really forecasting the good precip.
The Red River Farm Network will be hosting meteorologist Eric Snodgrass on Wednesday, September 12th at the Big Iron Farm Show. We'll focus on harvest weather, and outlook, and more. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. In his weekly report, University of Minnesota entomologist Ian McRae says a total of 263 vector aphids were caught in the aphid traps, representing 15 different species from 14 of 16 reporting sites. Soybean aphid counts remain low in northwestern Minnesota, but aphid numbers are on the rise in southern Minnesota. Dry weather has increased the incidence of spider mites in northwestern Minnesota, and McRae reminds farmers that spider mite resistance to chlorpyrifos has been reported in some areas.
North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring continues to reflect on dicamba application and drift solutions. Goring says dicamba application restrictions weren't exactly successful in the state.
Some of them maybe felt that, God, it seemed like my neighbors around me did everything right. I didn't see them out, spraying when the temperature was too high or too windy, but we still had a problem. Sometimes maybe they've exhausted all avenues with their neighbor, and maybe some tension has grown into something more between them and their neighbor. Really, it may come down to now that there's record keeping, now that there's a formal process in place, maybe just checking it out, trying to do some fact-finding on our part.
Goring reflects on the dicamba survey findings so far.
Last year, we had 165,000-plus acres affected in North Dakota. This year, we're only showing 23,000 to date. Now, is that 23,000 still unacceptable? I suspect you'd have to say yes. Maybe it was some ornamentals. Maybe it was a dry bean crop. Maybe it was soybeans. There's still some concerns out there that why is this moving off target? And it simply goes back to why I made a request of EPA to allow and consider weed species and weed size to be a determining factor when it comes to what the rate should be or could be.
Goring thinks the Environmental Protection Agency could decide on the future of dicamba in early September.
According to a recent report from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, U.S. sales of tractors and combines continues to post strong numbers. July combine sales increased 37% compared to last year, with year-to-date growth of nearly 24%. Compared to a year ago, four-wheel drive tractor sales increased 77.5%, with year-to-date growth of 13%. For July, sales of two-wheel drive tractors were up 12% from last year, sales in the 100-plus horsepower category leading the way with a 31% increase.
Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops didn't see much in the latest USDA crop progress report to trigger action in the markets. Hoops says most of the action in the grain trade today is coming from Argentina.
News that they have suspended export tax reductions on meal, and that's given us a lot of strength over in the soybeans. Okay. The big rally in the meal.
Hoop says wheat futures are trying to rally.
You know, wheat futures trying to rally on ideas that Egypt would buy some wheat from the United States in their tender. I don't think that's very likely. We're still not competitively priced on the export market, so I think wheat going to be disappointed when the results of that tender are announced.
Speaking of that crop progress report in Minnesota, USDA's National Ag Statistics Service reports 65% of corn has reached dough stage, 12% is denting, 77% of corn in good to excellent condition. Minnesota beans rated 73% good to excellent with 92% setting pods. 47% of spring wheat and 71% of the barley is harvested. In South Dakota, the corn crop rates 69% good to excellent with 72% in the dough stage and 11% dented. 81% of the beans setting pods with 66% of the beans in good to excellent condition. South Dakota wheat harvest nearly complete with 97% of winter wheat and 80% of the spring wheat harvested.
62% of the soybeans in North Dakota are rated good to excellent, 89% setting pods, 6% dropping leaves. 79% of North Dakota's corn is rated good to excellent, 63% in the dough stage, 6% is denting. 29% of the spring wheat, 73% of the winter wheat crops are harvested. 9% of the durum and 52% of the barley are harvested. North Dakota sugar beet condition is rated 92% good to excellent. Sunflowers rated 81% good to excellent with 93% blooming. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Following a lawsuit ruling, Monsanto pushed shares of Bayer down 12% on the first day of trading for the week. Monsanto, recently acquired by Bayer, was ordered to pay $289 million as part of a lawsuit alleging glyphosate causes cancer. Monsanto plans to appeal that court ruling. The Minnesota chapter of Realtors Land Institute is meeting August 22nd and 23rd in New Ulm. Terry Johnson, or rather Jensen, of National Land Realty is one of the organizers of the event and says the land values are holding firm.
Everybody has buyers for ag land, hunting rec ground, development land, rural building sites. There is just seems like there's a lack of inventory for everything. And it sounded like from all, because we cover a huge geographic area with the chapter, and it sounds like quality land still is holding its own. You know, premium or non-premium quality land has noted some decreases in prices, but it seems like premium quality land is still there, and there's still, you know, there are still buyers who need and want to purchase.
Jensen says there's a demographic shift in agriculture with land ownership transferring to a younger generation with no connection to farming.
The kids who are the heirs, a lot of times, don't know anything about the land. They don't have ties to the land anymore. And so I would anticipate in the next 5 years we'll see more land come on the market just because of that. But there are so many other things going on right now, too, with the tariffs and interest rates and, you know, the farm bill's not in place. And just there are all sorts of unknowns that we need to deal with.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you. September Minneapolis wheat up 1.25 at 594. September Chicago wheat up 6.75 at 540.5. September Kansas City wheat up 4.25. September corn up 5.5 at 362. December corn up 5.75 at 376.25. September beans up 10.25 at 867.5. November beans up 10.25 at 879. In livestock markets, October live cattle up 42 cents at 108.50. 57. November feeder cattle down 30 cents at 149.12. October lean hogs up 22 cents at 51.87. On the farm calendar, North Dakota Corn Classic underway today in Mapleton, North Dakota, and University of Minnesota Extension, SCN Soybean Field Day in Minnesota as well. This is the Red River Farm Network.